Kia ora, welcome to Focus on Politics. I'm Jane Patterson. It's now been more than 18 months since the first COVID case in New Zealand in February last year, and the country's now slowly moving out of the second nationwide lockdown. But so much has changed. Alert level lingo, genome sequencing, isolation, MIQ bookings, social distancing and border quarantine now just part of the everyday conversation. Also shifting is the way New Zealand will respond to COVID, and at the moment, the Delta variant. Last year, the plan to lock down and eliminate COVID altogether from the community was successful. But in 2021, the picture is more complex.
Auckland will move to alert level 3 at 11:59pm tomorrow night, Tuesday the 21st of September. The Director General is also clear that given the long, hard tail of Delta, we will need time here. And Cabinet has accepted his advice for Auckland to stay at level 3 for at least 2 weeks.
This happened while new cases were still popping up, including mystery cases not yet linked to the outbreak. And the question was, is level 3 enough to get this Auckland outbreak under control?
Actually, level 3 has been the place we have moved to first for every other outbreak that we have had to date, other than the first one. The reason we went to 4 first was because we saw in other states in Australia how quickly Delta moved. So we moved quickly to establish how widespread it was, get that broad containment, and now we need to keep going. And I'd really highlight again, 3 is a continuation of stamp it out, not a cutting loose of those restrictions.
It's been an interesting start to the week with the government shifting Auckland to level 3.
National's Judith Collins went straight to what this means for the broader response.
As we all try to get a clearer idea of what this means for us in our everyday lives, what is absolutely clear is that the government has given up on its elimination strategy. Infection numbers in Auckland continue to be a concern, but the government has sneakily backed away from its strategy since the pandemic started to eliminate the virus and move to a suppression approach. It's an explicit acknowledgement by the Prime Minister that it doesn't know how to eliminate COVID, but that the government is now scrambling to find new answers and a new approach. The government must admit its elimination strategy has failed and come out with a clear plan with clear targets about where we go from here.
Morning Report's Corin Dan asked Jacinda Ardern if the government would be prepared to loosen restrictions into the future when there are still community cases that might not be linked to existing outbreaks.
Yeah, and look, you know, our view is that 3 still gives us the opportunity to continue the stamp it out strategy, and we will continue rigorously doing that. What I need people to do in the meantime is help support our work, because we know actually vaccines have the ability to make a difference for this outbreak too. We're due to get to 80% of Auckland first dose this week. We actually have the ability, if Aucklanders work really hard, there's the ability by the time we even come to review the level 2 decision or the current status of 3 in a couple of weeks' time, for them to hit 90%. Now, that would be an extraordinary number, but that is going to take every Aucklander doing their bit.
But what about the level? But the 2 dose? That is the key one, and that is the one, if we look at New South Wales, where they've given a similar sort of incentive to get to 2-dose 70% before they open up. Are we in a similar scenario where you won't be able to go to two unless you have something along those lines?
No, I'm not saying once you reach this, then we'll do, once we reach that, that's X and then we'll do Y, because actually all the way through, vaccine has been an additional support for us. It has not been the basis of every decision that we've made. They're in a slightly different position than us. But it helps, Corin. What I've also signalled that we want to do is share some of the modelling that we're seeing around in the future. We know that the more people who are vaccinated, the less likely it is that we have a constant state of restrictions as everyone's been living with for the better part of a year and a half. And depending on how high those vaccination rates actually depend on what our future looks like generally. So I would like to start giving people some insights into what a difference vaccine levels make. So once our modellers have finished some of that work, I would like to share it.
Sure. What you seem to be suggesting is that we are coming to the point where we're going to have to pivot out of the full-scale elimination. I mean, 3's elimination, but 2's not, is it? And if you've still got cases, you have to rely on vaccines.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying we need people to be vaccinated regardless, because even in this outbreak, where we've still, of course, used all the old tools that we've always used, in this outbreak, we have seen the difference that vaccination has made for those who are fully vaccinated.
The following morning, the Director General of Health, Dr. Ashley Bloomfield, said New Zealand may never get rid of COVID.
The important thing is, are we finding any cases out there? And given the ongoing good testing rates in Auckland, you know, again, over 8,500, I think, done the day before yesterday, a lot of them in those suburbs were interested in where we think there are still some cases out there. The important thing, and this is consistent with our elimination strategy, is we don't tolerate the virus in the community, so we actively seek it out. We seek out any hotspots and dampen those down, and that's the purpose of this next couple of weeks at Alert Level 3, is to help us not just continue to do that, but we hope sort of finish the job.
Yeah, I understand, and you've argued pretty strongly for that stamping it out type approach to continue, and that it is working. But realistically, and in the interest of, I guess, getting New Zealanders' heads around this, is it realistic? Do you believe New Zealand can get back to a level one scenario with Delta, that we can actually get to a series of zero cases?
I think they're two different things. I don't think a level one scenario with Delta necessarily means a series of zero cases, because what we've got now, of course, is vaccination. And so what we're aiming to do now is get on top of this outbreak, which we've done, and continue to vaccinate and get that vaccination rate up over 90%. That's our new means whereby we will be able to get back to the freedoms we had under Alert Level 1, and we're all keen to do that.
COVID-19 modeller Rodney Jones told reporter Charlotte Cook earlier this week the current Delta outbreak is here to stay.
So what we have is, we have cases bouncing around. So the R value is basically around 1. We're just on this long, steady path. It's not below 1, and if anything, there's a risk cases drift higher, but we'll have to see.
How much higher could they get?
It just depends on the transmission under level 3. With Delta, it's a day-by-day journey.
And so without the R value consistently being below 1, elimination is practically impossible.
Exactly. What's accepted, for elimination to work, you need an R value around 0.4, which is what we had in the first outbreak in 2020, and we haven't got down there this time.
What's the lowest you've modelled it at?
In our models, we got down to 0.6 for a few days.
ACT leader David Seymour says the government's boxed itself into a corner.
The government is in a very difficult position because they have frankly used fear, saying tens of thousands of people might die from this deadly killer virus. When you condition people for 18 months saying that, it's very difficult for them to say, actually, we can no longer maintain. Even at level 4, we failed to stamp it out completely. But they have to make that transition nonetheless. And I think what we need is a far more intelligent conversation about how we maintain it at a low level, knowing we can't eradicate it completely. The objective now has to be to minimise overwhelming the hospital system, minimise deaths, and allow people to get on with pursuing other aspects of their welfare.
The report from the expert advisory group headed by Professor David Skegg found the elimination strategy was still a viable option and the best approach at the moment. It cited definitions including action increased in a stepwise, targeted way to reduce cases so as not to overwhelm healthcare systems, and maximum action to control COVID and stop community transmission as quickly as possible. So elimination should be seen as a process rather than a permanent outcome. But it also noted while the term elimination was well established in epidemiology, it's frequently misinterpreted as meaning eradication, which can create confusion about what the strategy actually means. The advisory group referred to language adopted by Australia, aggressive suppression or aggressive containment, but recommended a new name in Te Reo Māori should be created to reflect New Zealand's unique approach. ACT's David Seymour agrees the language is a problem.
We certainly no longer have the eradication strategy that Jacinda Ardern kind of stumbled into mid-lockdown last April. And that means that we need to be far, far better at stamping out outbreaks. And that means better testing, tracing, vaccination and treatments so that we can keep COVID under control without overwhelming the hospital system. Now that we accept that's happened, we'd probably be better to call it a suppression strategy and turn the focus on how we actually manage and minimise outbreaks. You know, ACT says we should be focused on what are the least cost ways to reduce the rate of transmission and what are the least cost ways to reduce hospitalisation and death. That should be our focus now.
Is that just a matter of language, though, that suits maybe the public's expectation of what is happening, suppression versus elimination? Would it actually mean anything different practically?
Elimination is a very confusing term, because what most people think of, if you eliminate something, it's gone. The elimination that the government is talking about has always been keeping it around at a very low level. They should really be talking about suppression. Previously, what they meant by elimination was eradication. So we could say there's no COVID in New Zealand, we all get on with life normally. What we now have is a suppression strategy. Whether they are honest about it or not, that's what we're doing. And suppression requires far better testing, tracing, treatments, vaccination, and better rules of the game about what you can and can't do.
The availability of a vaccine has made a critical difference in the current fight against Delta and underpins every plan to return to a life freer from restrictions and to gradually start opening up the border. But modelling released this week by the government paints a bleak picture unless vaccination rates are north of 90%. Professor Sean Hendy beamed into the Beehive Theatreette to deliver the news. The best case scenario, he said, was achieving population immunity, where the virus can't find any new people to infect, so outbreaks fizzle out on their own. However, he said because Delta is so transmissible, that was unlikely to happen through vaccination alone. So what does life look like in New Zealand with variable vaccination rates? That too is dependent on having moderate, longer-term public health measures like masks, better ventilation, rapid testing, vaccine certificates and top-quality contact tracing.
For example, if we were to get to 90% plus vaccine coverage and those over the age of five, those moderate public health measures could reduce the health burden to that something that's less than that of seasonal influenza, with only moderate border restrictions in place. Nonetheless, there are still scenarios where, despite a high vaccination coverage, population immunity would not be achieved. Now, this would likely result in severe health burdens that are, order of magnitude worse than seasonal influenza. For example, if we were only get to 80% of those over five, then we could still experience 60,000 hospitalisations from COVID-19 in a one-year period and 7,000 fatalities. Our healthcare system couldn't cope with this level of illness. We would need to continue to use lockdowns.
Another expert, Rodney Jones, told political reporter Charlie Drever those conclusions should be treated with a high degree of scepticism.
I just don't think it's helpful. I don't think engendering fear is helpful. I think there's a positive story in New Zealand. We've had a remarkable degree of social cohesion. As I've argued, this Delta outbreak has been difficult, but we're getting through it and managing it and getting our vaccination rates up. And we can look forward to a better 2022.
Sean Hendy says his presentation was prefaced with comments that there's still a great deal of uncertainty, but defends the approach.
No, look, I think this information does need to be out there. And I think people do need to realise that this is not the likely outcome, right? The thousands of deaths we're talking about, because the government would act to prevent that from happening. What we're trying to look at is the trade-offs between, say, having to use lockdowns to avoid those kinds of fatalities and the use of other measures, including vaccination. So it's really about looking at those trade-offs as opposed to forecasting.
Professor Tony Blakely from the University of Melbourne has completed modelling on the state of Victoria to see how much of 2022 could be spent in lockdown, depending on various vaccination rates. Checkpoint's Lisa Owen asked whether that modelling could be applied to New Zealand. Professor Blakely says they stack up well, but with better outcomes in New Zealand because of the all-Pfizer approach.
80% of all adults with Pfizer in New Zealand with minimum levels will not be enough for you next year. But there's more good news. In our models, we reach in there and we change a few things. We reduce the transmission at places like schools, CBD offices, by something that would look like improved ventilation and air filtration. It works well. We reach into the model and we assume that we can scale up things beside contact tracing, like a phone app that actually works, or like mass rapid antigen testing. When the rate's getting high, you do lots of testing of people going to a workplace, going to a stadium. Those things work really well. So all those measures together will help us through next year.
There is a couple of things there. So I am taking from this that it is absolutely vital to any vaccination strategy, if we want to return to any sort of normal, that everyone 5 years and above has to be vaccinated.
Yes, absolutely yes. Because if you don't vaccinate the children, you've got a pool of people and they hang out together. It's in a place called schools. And that just means that the virus circulates and then gets back up into the households. It means it infects those people who weren't vaccinated, but also increasingly infects those people for whom the vaccine is waning. So you have to get the whole population covered, because our vaccines are good, but they're not perfect. Indeed, on a piece of paper, I need to vaccinate 110%, impossible, of the population to get herd immunity. So we need to have things as well as vaccine and augment.
That's Focus on Politics. Thanks for joining us. I'm Jane Patterson. Mā te wā.